We return to Luke chapter 2, and we've come now to the section of Scripture that tells about the birth of our Lord. We've been walking through the book of Luke the last couple weeks, and we've walked through Luke chapter 1. We saw just the anticipation that people had as they were waiting for the coming of Christ, the coming of Jesus. We looked at so many of those Old Testament prophecies that had foretold and promised years and years in advance that there would be the coming of this king, the one who would come and save Israel, save them from their sins and save them from their oppressors and set up his kingdom. And so we saw that there were so many people who were longing for and looking forward to the coming of Christ, the coming of the king who would save the world. And last week we focused on the second portion of Luke chapter 1. We saw that the emphasis that runs throughout this section is this emphasis on believing God's word. Believing God's word. So many of these people, they longed for and anticipated the coming of Christ because they believed what God had told them. Just even as Mary, who even when she was told this impossible word that though she had never known a man, she was going to give birth to God's own son. It's incredible. It's unbelievable from a human standpoint. But she believed and she responded in faith. And we see that she longed for and waited for and was longing for the redemption of Israel and the salvation that God would bring through the coming of Christ. And we saw that through Zacharias as well, as he was longing for the coming of the Messiah. As they longed for the coming of Christ, we walked through the rest of the book and saw how that eager anticipation and longing for Christ to come transformed their, or calls us to transform our lives, as God transforms our lives through the working of his Spirit. And so as we come now to Luke chapter 2, we've been kind of building anticipation. There's been John the Baptist who has announced who would come and that he would come before the coming of the King, the Messiah, and prepare the way before him. And so this anticipation has been building as we finally come to chapter 2 and we read about the birth of Christ, the section that Ken read for us this morning. And this morning, I'm just going to focus on the first 20 verses. It's a short section. It's a simple message, I think, for us. It's just a message of, do we believe God's word? And if so, I think it will cause within us, as we read this section this morning, just an overwhelming sense of joy and gratitude. Overwhelming sense of joy and gratitude. We think about who Christ is and what he came to do. We understand that he's the fulfillment of all of God's plan. And so I think for us this morning, as we come to this Christmas season, this sense of eager anticipation should flow over into a sense of joy and thankfulness. And as we'll see even with the shepherds, that sense of anticipation, joy, and gratitude then comes into telling others about Christ. And so I think for all of us, it's a great message for us to come away from as we go and we maybe spend time with family this week, spend time with others, that we, in our own hearts, because we believe all that is said about Jesus, because we believe that he's the coming king, we believe that he's the savior of the world, we believe that he's coming again to reign and to rule, we believe these things, we long for that, we rejoice because we have been saved, and then we want to just tell others. We want to go and tell others the good news. We want to be like the shepherds who couldn't hold it in, this excitement, this joy, this sense of gratitude for who God is and what he has done. And so, as I said, it's a simple message for us this morning, but one I think we all just want to come away pondering this Christmas season. Let me open us up in a word of prayer. Our Father, as we come to your word, we meditate on what it means that Christ was born in such a humble way into this world. We meditate on who you are and what you came to do. Our Father, we pray that as we come this morning, we come to your word, we meditate on all the truths that you have given to us in your word. We pray that, first of all, that you would grant us belief, that you would strengthen us and cause us to be firm in our conviction that your word is true. And we pray, Lord, that that would not be just a truth that sits in the back of our heads, but one that's in the forefront of our minds and our hearts, Lord, that transforms our expectant longing for you to return again, and that transforms how we think and how we go about our days, that causes us to live for your kingdom and not for ourselves. And so, our Father, we pray that this Christmas, as we just meditate on who Christ is, that you would give us just an overwhelming sense of joy. Lord, joy at the coming of Christ, joy at who he is and what he has come to do. And so we praise you and we thank you and we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. As we have done even a couple weeks ago, I want to just remind us again this morning, when Christ came, as he came in the fulfillment of Scripture, I want us to all have a sense of wonder and awe that Christ would come and that he would be born as a man and come to save the world from their sins. As we even begin in Luke 2, chapter 1, it starts off with this statement. Now, in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And I'm just reminded, it's maybe even not so much the main point of the text, but I'm just reminded at the fact that all of history has been working up to this point in time. That as we read, so many Old Testament prophecies are being brought to completion, and God timed it in just such a way that Caesar Augustus would give this census to be taken of the whole earth that would cause Mary and Joseph to go to Bethlehem, the place prophesied about by Micah the prophet, where the Messiah would be born. And as I just meditate on the coming of Christ, I think about the fact that thousands upon thousands of years of history find their culmination in Christ, and just the wonder and the awe that God would lay out so clearly history for the coming to culminate in this time. And just that sense of awe that God worked out all the details, that as Paul would say, in the right time, Christ was born of a woman and came to save their people from their sins. And so I just come this morning with a sense of amazement, a sense of gratitude that Christ would come in the fulfillment of all these prophecies. And so as we continue reading in the story, we see as it plays out that Mary and Joseph, they went from Nazareth to Bethlehem to be registered. And the days were there in verse 6 completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And I just think about the fact that as God laid out all of his plan, he laid out all of history, his plan included his son, God incarnate, being born in a manger. And as we'll read, his reception is going to be shepherds. In that society, shepherds were not nobility, right? Shepherds were the poor. Shepherds were almost the outcasts of society. Shepherds were those that were kind of maybe the smelly, you know, that they're out caring for the animals. And I just think of the fact of what a humble coming Christ had. And as we've seen already in the book of Luke, and we'll continue to see, we'll see that marked the life of our Lord, that he came to minister to the poor. And so it was so fitting that in his announcement, in his birth, he came in such a humble way, and he came to shepherds. He came to the poor. He came to those who were lowly. It's just an amazing truth that the Son of God, God himself, would plan out from all eternity to become and born in a way such as this. It's an amazing truth. I don't think we can really sense the wonder of it like we should. That God himself would become a man was amazing enough, but that he'd be born in such a humble way as this, it should overwhelm us. It should cause us to understand why he came. He came for us. He didn't come for himself. And we'll see that as we continue to walk through the text. We'll see that he came, we know, ultimately to die and to save people from their sins, as we read about last week. But as you continue on in verse 8, it says, in the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. An angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." That right there is what Christmas is all about. And that's what it all comes down to. It's this great news, this message of salvation. And when it says, "I bring you the good news," that's the word that it's the verb from which we get our noun gospel from. This is what would transform our days, our lives. This is what is so amazing. This great news, this message that Christ is the Savior. And so this announcement was given, this message, this word, and as we'll see, the shepherds believe it. We talked about in the weeks previous how this theme of believing God's word keeps playing, walking through this section. And this same word for word just keeps kind of weaving itself through this section. I'd say it tells us this message of needing to believe God's word, a message of longing for the fulfillment of God's word, this message of being joyful and excited at the announcement of this good word, and as we'll see, when that transforms our heart, the desire to spread this good word. This is spread the good news, and we'll see that the shepherds do that. But first and foremost, we need to come to an understanding of what is this good news? And in this case, it's defined for us clearly that today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. That's the amazing good news. This is the message that the shepherds were told. This message that they wanted to spread to everyone, that Christ came in the fulfillment of all God's message and the fulfillment of all God's prophecies as a Savior, the Savior of the world. And you'll notice how through these two chapters, over and over again, this word Savior keeps coming in. I didn't count them, but it's over and over again. I could just kind of find them quickly. Look at verse 47. "My spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior." And Zacharias several times talks about salvation. Verse 69 talks about he has raised up a horn of salvation for us. Verse 71, salvation from our enemies. All the way down to verse 77, to give his people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. And then finally down here, the message is, "For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior." What a message. What a truth that in the fulfillment of time, in the fulfillment of all God's prophecies, at the right time, God sent a Savior. And as we saw last week, Christ coming as the Savior is, there's two aspects to it. We saw that even in Zacharias' prophecy. He came to save his people from oppression and to bring in God's kingdom. But God's kingdom that came in must be a righteous kingdom. And so he also came to save people from their sins. He came to make everything right. As we saw, as we would go all the way back to the beginning, when God created man and woman, sin entered the world, and that sin and death which came in and the curse, it corrupted all of God's creation. And we see that Christ is coming again as a king to reign in his kingdom and to right the wrongs of sin and death and the curse, and to reverse all those things and to transform people's lives. At the heart of salvation is God restoring people into a right relationship with himself. As we saw even in verse 77, it's the knowledge of salvation is the forgiveness of their sins. And so everything that has gone wrong in this world is being made right in Jesus, because he is the Savior. He's the one who has come to save from oppression and to bring in peace. The Hebrew idea of peace really fits well with this idea of salvation. As we see even later in this chapter, verse 14, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." The Hebrew idea of peace, when we hear peace, what do we think of? We think of freedom from war, right? But the Hebrew idea of peace is much broader than that. And I would suggest that's kind of the idea that is encapsulated here. The idea of peace is wholeness or health. And so certainly, it's a very broad concept. If you're going to be at peace, certainly you're going to be free from war, right? Things are not right when you're in a battle and you're war and you're being oppressed and you're fighting. That's not God's ideal. But shalom, peace, is much broader than that. And we'll see here, I think, this obviously includes peace with God. Peace being in a right relationship, but it's wholeness and health in every aspect. It's being free from oppression. All throughout the Old Testament, you see this idea that when the kingdom comes, it's going to be a kingdom of peace, right? Men in right relationship with God, peace with God because their sins have been forgiven and they've been made into a right relationship with God. But it doesn't end there. It's peace from enemies, wholeness and health. It talks about in the Old Testament, each person sitting under his vine, under his own fig tree. And you're like, well, what's that all about? It's the idea that life is functioning as it's supposed to. That God, as he intended his creation, is being brought about. And so we see that so clearly here, that Christ is the Savior who came to save their people from their sins and also to bring about peace and to bring about that for those you see with whom he is pleased. Ultimately, those who have peace with God and who will enter into God's kingdom and experience this peace are those whom God's favor is upon, those who God's grace is upon. And as we walk throughout the book of Luke, we'll see it's those who follow Jesus. It's those who give up everything to enter into his kingdom. It's those who are therefore in a right relationship with God because Jesus came to forgive them of their sins. And so this Christmas season, I want us to try to get our minds around the totality of this message of salvation, that Christ is the Savior. He's come, and I think probably maybe a good way to put this is he's come and he has, for those of us who have trusted, and he has saved us from our sin. But I think it's easy to think that salvation ends there and to forget that there's a future aspect to salvation, that we have not yet been fully saved. We have not been freed from this earth and from the oppression and the sin and the curse and the death that besets all of us. And as they were looking for the coming of the Messiah, as we talked about in previous weeks, they were looking for the totality of salvation. They were looking for the total fulfillment of all of God's plan and purposes. And so as they came and the King was born among them, they were looking forward to the salvation from their sins and the restoration of right relationship with God, and also the totality, as we said, of the fulfillment of this kingdom of God, peace in all its fullness. And so that's what they were celebrating. And as I suggested to us as well, that's what we celebrate. We are those who have trusted in Jesus, for those of us this morning, who have given up everything to follow him, and we live for his kingdom. And so this message of salvation, for us, we are those who are looking forward to the fulfillment of these things, right? Christ is the King and he's coming again to reign. He's coming again to set up his kingdom. And we should just have this overwhelming sense of joy, this overwhelming sense of gratitude as we just meditate on that together. Just think of the facts, you know, for thousands of years, you know, you could just even kind of survey briefly the story leading up to the coming of Christ, how Adam and Eve sinned, and God forgave them. But then they had children, and Cain killed Abel, right? And the sin that entered into the world through them just passed on to their children, and murder came in. And you keep going through, you know the story, how the flood came, where the whole world became corrupt, and how God called Abraham to make the nation of Israel to go and spread his message of salvation to the world. But they failed over and over again. And throughout the history of the Old Testament, in one sense, it's a story of failure. It's a story of God wanting his message of salvation to go forth to the world and to restore the world. But over and over again, there was failure after failure after failure. And with the coming of Christ, there's hope. With the coming of Christ, finally there is salvation that has come. And so for all of us, it should be our response, like that of the shepherds, that just is overwhelming sense of joy and gratitude that this salvation has finally come, that God has come to earth. This is his answer to the problem of sin and death. It's his answer to the problem of the curse. It's all found in Jesus. And so notice Notice what it's just this rejoicing, this announcement of this message that Christ has come. And so just notice how all throughout these two chapters, everyone is just overflowing with this sense of gratitude and joy. And so notice we'll pick up in verse 12. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." And just that, once again, that message of salvation, peace with God, peace with on those who God has his favor, who God is gracious to. And just that statement of glory to God, praise to God. God deserves all the glory for this announcement of this salvation. And so then come to verse 15. When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this," literally this word, which the Lord has made known to us, right? Once again, they believed the word of God. They believed this announcement. They believed this good news. And so they went and they wanted to see what had been told to them. And so they came in a hurry, verse 16, and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. And then notice this. And when they had seen this, they made known the word once again, which had been told them about this child. You see the response. They believed God's word. And so they were so excited. They went in haste. And they had to tell others. They had to tell others the message of this salvation. The message that a Savior had been born, that the King had come, His kingdom was coming. There would be peace with men. What an amazing truth. And so that's the challenge I would suggest for us this morning. We looked at in weeks past, we need to believe God's word. These promises that were given, that they were looking forward to, they were longing for God's salvation and God's kingdom to come. We look forward to that as well. Right? And we talked about last week, we need to long for Christ's coming kingdom. That it's going to be so amazing and so great. It's something we can't even begin to comprehend. So we need to long for it, and therefore it'll transform our lives and we'll live for it. We'll be willing, as we could walk through the rest of the book of Luke, see, we'd be willing to give up everything for the kingdom. But not only that, we will be those who have this sense of joy, this sense of gratitude, like the shepherds. Because this salvation has been announced to us as well. We have even experienced and tasted this salvation. We've not experienced the full final salvation when Christ comes again and sets up his kingdom, but we have been saved. We've been saved and we've experienced God's salvation. And so we should have this sense of joy, like the shepherds, that can't contain itself, but just must go and spread this good news, spread this message of salvation. And if we would walk through the rest of the book of Luke, we would see that that's an important aspect of what it means to be a follower of Christ. And so it's like I said, it's a simple message. I'm not going to take forever to walk through the rest of this in great detail. It's just a time for us this Christmas season to reflect on the message of Christ. And just to think about the fact that he came as a Savior. He came to save the world. Even as we read, we'll look at next week, we'll kind of finish off Luke chapter 2. But notice even in preview what Simeon said in verses 29. Look once again, the key word, "Now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace according to your word." Once again, that same word, word. He believed God's promise. And then verse 30, "For my eyes have seen," what? "Your salvation." Notice how many times, over and over again, Jesus Christ is the Savior, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, the light of revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel. He is the fulfillment of all of God's good plan. He is the Savior. He has come to save the world, to save the Gentiles, to give the light of the knowledge of God's salvation over all the earth. I mean, we could read through the Old Testament and read through the book of Isaiah and see that metaphor of the light, the message that's supposed to go forth to the Gentiles. Israel was to be that light, but now finally in Christ, that light will go to the Gentiles as God's salvation goes forth, and then also the glory of his people Israel. speaking once again of the kingdom. When he sets up his kingdom and Israel is exalted over this worldwide kingdom of peace. Just an amazing message. That is who Christ is. As we look at Luke chapter 1 and Luke chapter 2, Christ is the Savior. And so for this Christmas season, let's meditate on that truth. How grateful are we for Christ's salvation? Do we have that overwhelming sense of joy and gratitude that not only have we been saved from our sins, as we saw, but also we're looking forward to full and final salvation? That there will come a day when the curse is overturned and the toil and the pain of work will be taken away. And when there will be peace, when there will be wholeness and health in God's kingdom. We'll read about this even as we take communion this morning. We'll read later in the book of Luke when Jesus kind of has the Last Supper with his disciples. And actually, do you know, let me just go ahead and do that now in terms of just reading this section. Because I want you to see how clearly it ties together with this message. So turn to Luke 20:22. Let me just read this little section as we focus our hearts and minds even on what it means that Christ is the Savior. Notice Luke 22 and verse 14 as we even focus on going to take communion here in just a little bit. Luke 22:14 says, "When the hour had come, he reclined at the table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, 'I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I shall never eat it again until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God.' And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he said, 'Take this and share it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes.' And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, 'This cup, which is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood.'" And we'll just pause there. As Jesus was preparing to go to the cross, we know that that is the reason why he came. He came to die, as so much of Scripture says. And so as he was waiting, as he was about to die, he had this eager desire, as it says, to eat the Passover with his disciples before he suffered. And he institutes the new covenant here we see so clearly. He says, I'm doing this now, but I'm not going to do it again until it's fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Until he comes again. Right? And so his death, as he came and he died and he forgave sin, it was a reminder that it was kind of the down payment, if you will, for that final salvation. That he was going to come again and this Passover is going to be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. When the full and final salvation is benefited, that everyone partakes in that full and final salvation, and we enter into the kingdom of God. And he says, "This is my body, which is given for you." And we know, of course, that he was speaking of his death on the cross, that he gave his body as a sacrifice for the sake of his people, for the sake of his disciples, as a payment for their sins. And then notice also what he says. He took the cup and he says, "This is the new covenant in my blood." What an amazing statement he makes there. Jesus inaugurated the new covenant. We're new covenant believers. When we read throughout the Old Testament and you read, what is the new covenant? It's the promise that God was going to come and transform people's hearts so that they could have the law written on their hearts and they could obey God. I mean, every time we take communion, we celebrate the fact that we are new covenant believers, that we've been grafted in with Israel. And God transforms our hearts and lives so that we can obey Him. And we participate in this new covenant that God is going to fulfill when He comes again and He saves all of Israel and He saves them from their sins and He institutes His kingdom. And so I think about what Christ's birth means. It means that He came as a Savior. He came, as we see clearly in this passage and the rest of the book of Luke, to forgive his people from their sins. But that is a kind of a down payment, if you will, for the kingdom of God, which is coming. Those of us who have been saved, who have been forgiven, who have now peace with God, we will experience the fullness of that peace when he comes and he reigns and he rules. And that's what we long for. That's what we look forward to when the kingdom of God comes and we will all take communion. We will all eat the Passover supper with Christ himself in his kingdom when he comes again. What a great truth. What a great reminder. That's what we long for. That's what we look forward to. And so for this Christmas season, I hope just a reminder of some of these truths gives us that overwhelming sense of joy that we can have. That we have heard this message. We have believed in this message. That we're longing for the fulfillment of this salvation when the kingdom of God comes and we can participate with Christ in that kingdom. And that we will participate in that kingdom because we've been forgiven. Because we are disciples of Christ. We've given up everything for that kingdom. And so we can enter into the kingdom of God. And if we would take the time to look through the book of Luke, we see how many times Jesus talks about how you enter into the kingdom of God. It's through giving up everything to follow him. Giving up everything to follow him. What a joy we have as believers. What an amazing truth that we have experienced this salvation, that Christ is the Savior. That's our message. Do we believe it? Is it something that transforms our hearts and lives? Is it something we long to see fulfilled when Christ comes again as King? Is it something, therefore, that like the shepherds, we go and we tell everyone about? We can't contain ourselves from telling people the good news. The good news of who Christ is and what he has come to do. That Christ is the Savior of the world who's come to bring peace to mankind. What an awesome message. What a great truth. And we have the privilege, we have the great, great privilege of hearing this message and knowing this message and therefore telling others about it. I just pray that for all of us, I pray that we'll have a sense of joy. It's so integral to who we are as believers that we have everything. We have absolutely everything. We are those who are in God's kingdom. We're citizens of heaven. We're citizens of God's coming kingdom that's going to come to this earth as he reigns and he rules. May we long for that. May we wait for that. May we just, it doesn't matter what happens here and now. Like, as we see in the book of Luke, we're so happy and joyful to give up everything in the here and now because of what is coming. Because the joy of Christ's coming kingdom. And so I pray for all of us that we would just meditate on that. We'd meditate on the glorious truths of our secure future, that we'd believe God's word, right? It's so secure. God's word never fails. We could see that so clearly in these opening chapters of the book of Luke, that God always does what he said. He fulfilled his promises and his prophecies concerning the birth of Christ, and he will certainly fulfill his promises and prophecies concerning the second coming of Christ. And so, as we saw in verse 17, They made known the statement which had been told them about the child, and all who heard it wondered at the things which were told to them by the shepherds, right? This sense of awe, this sense of wonder that comes through our testifying the message about Christ. And then it says, but Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart, and the shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. May that be our response this Christmas. May we glorify and just praise God for the coming of Christ, his salvation, his peace, his coming to be the salvation of the world, and that we have participated in. What a great, great message for us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we meditate on this as a body. Our Father, as we come before you this Christmas season, we're so thankful for who Christ is. Lord, I know for all of us, it's so easy to get caught up in other things and to not have the sense of joy and awe and wonder and praise and worship of you that we should have at your good news, at your message of salvation, and just the wonder at who Christ is and what he has come to do. Lord, I pray for all of us as we meditate on the fact that Christ is the Savior. He has saved us from our sins and brought us into a right relationship with you. And then he has also brought peace so that we could be at peace with God. And he's going to bring full and final peace when he brings in his kingdom and all the earth is in peace and everything that is wrong is made right. Lord, we long for that. We pray that you would give us that great sense of anticipation and longing and living for your kingdom. And we just thank you so much that for Christ this Christmas season, that he would be born to humble shepherds in a manger. Lord, it's beyond our comprehension that the Lord of glory would be born in such a way and that we don't deserve your salvation. Lord, I pray that we too, who don't deserve your salvation, would just be those who want to tell others, and especially caring for the poor, Lord, just those who are needy and those who recognize that they need salvation. Lord, we thank you for these truths. We pray that you would cause us this whole week and just even the rest of this year to rejoice in your great salvation. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.